I'm sort of resolved to get on with what we've got to say because I'm only really introducing something today because we've only got a small amount of time. But I can't miss out on just mentioning a couple of things about last night. It really is quite overwhelmingly impressive to see the way in which so many of you guys are actually building networks of people. Andy talked about net, and in our description of our vision we use the word network instead of congregation, because that's really what we're looking for. And it came to me really strongly when, because quite often I have the greatest difficulty in not showing off about Dayspring and what's going on. And somebody was talking to me during the week, quite a high profile church planter, and was saying the problem he has with the people who have come to join him from other churches are that they've come and expect him to deliver people to them so they can fulfill their ministry, so they can be pastors or teachers. And he's saying that really that's not what he's into, that he's into the business of sending people out to find the man of peace and to become part with them and eat with them and do stuff with them. And in a couple of weeks' time, July, I want to talk about that a bit more in the context of vision. But it just is so encouraging to look at those tables, groups of people around, different ones of you, and to see every time it seems that there are new tables, and all from you guys. And there are other things going on as well, which I sort of hear about and fascinated by as I hear that, for instance, Roy was getting some guys to go around to pray for his neighbour. Was that right? Just a couple of weeks ago? That's,
I had to re-organise
that
bit.
Yeah. Haven't done it yet. They've been getting there. But that's absolutely fantastic, because what it's doing is it's meaning that church is happening where the rubber meets the road. It does mean that we're going to have to redraw the categories, because when people say how many people are there in Dayspring, the genuine answer is I don't know, and I'm not terribly sure what metrics are appropriate. You know that bit about count what counts but count something. We're trying to work out what counts with these things. But it is a great blessing to see the teens there last night all glammed up, the smartest table by far. The funny thing was that my wife was saying, I thought some of those skirts were short, and to which my response was, you have no right to talk about short skirts. Some of the pictures that she wants to remove from our photograph album because the grandchildren might see them. It's all fabulous just to actually watch. And I thought John was a real help. That was and by the way, that's really exciting. You know, if God is healing a lady who's 90 years old and removing pain from her knees and building faith, that is a fantastic gospel. If you're getting older and you get pains in your knees, like I do, yeah, from time to time, that's gospel, that's good news. And we need to get excited about what is good news. Alright, well, none of that is on my topic, but what I wanted to do today, I suppose actually it does connect, because what I want to do now is to actually talk for a little while about something that really was firing me up while I was away on holiday. I do think about you guys a lot. Don't have nightmares, don't have dreams about you. If I have dreams about you guys, I do take them seriously and pray about them and think about what ought to happen. But I do pray for you. And while I was on holiday, I think it was particularly focused on the Sunday, I was praying for some of you guys. And I was praying for those of you who have life that's really difficult at the moment. And some of us think that we have hard times, like the fact that I'm having to do decorating at the moment, and that's, boy, you know, sort of, that's a real burden in my life. But then I think about people like Nick and Julia who've got a whole new house. And
just thinking, perhaps you're decorating
it. Yeah, that's right. There ain't many people who want me decorating their house, you know, sort of, it's, you know that thing when Father painted the parlour, that's me. He couldn't see things for paint. I get it everywhere. But anyway, that's sort of little stuff moving house is actually quite stressful. But then I think about some of you guys who have got real problems. I told Katrina, not in this, oh yes she is, that you're not wearing white, so I don't quite, you know, I normally expect you to be wearing white. And there are things that, thinking about Katrina and thanking God for Katrina and thanking God for her smile and the fact that, I really love her accent, not only because it's sort of weird and Welsh, but because I've got so many mates who've got that same sort of soft South Wales accent as well. Think of Mary Wolfe, and then think of my mate Hayden, who died not so long ago, who's best friend from university, and praying for Katrina, because you've had some real crap things happen to you recently, you know, and that's bad, to be in sort of temporary housing and a relationship just sort of falling out of place and have nowhere to live and that kind of thing. And I just don't know how I would actually survive under those circumstances. And then think about Julie and her three beautiful children, husband who's got really big issues, and not to put too fine a point on it, Julie's getting on a bit to have three small kids. Well, she said it to me, you know, so it's, and I think that's fantastic to see how those kids are really lovely. And then to think about Mel, and don't really wish to pressurise her, but not in front of the rest of you anyway, but to think of the stuff she's going through, and then praying into the fact that that Mel has got such leadership potential within her, and things need to change in order for that to be released. And so all this is going on while I'm being squirted with water while trying to lie on a sunbed beside the pool, and you know, it's in my, and it actually, of course, there's four adults and two older children and Tom, who's two, and it takes four of us to lose Thomas a lot of the time, you know, sort of. They were also, well, anybody seen Thomas? Where is he? Oh, he's over there, you know. That's the way I live my life, as I pray. And I was praying about something specific, which had come out of what Marion told me she was going to speak on. In the end, I think she spoke out with a slightly different emphasis. She was talking about the Valley of Achor in Hosea. She was telling me about this. And about within the Valley of Achor, there is a door of hope. And a door of hope is a fantastic thing, because you see a door, you go through it, don't you? And that's what it's about. And I've been praying for you guys and for all of us that we'll get this door of hope and we'll make our way through it. So I've got four clips this morning, so we're going to have to really go for it. Where's play? Let's go to play. Hope, strange idea. Have a think about this one. Hope we're going to get a picture. You know this film, don't you? Some of you have watched it. But just a little clip out of here.
They brought the door down before I could take it.
This guy's been in solitary.
Easiest time ever did.
Oh, shit. No such thing as easy time at all.
For a week and a half, like a year.
That's right.
And Mr. Mozart to give me company.
So they let you tilt that record player down there, huh?
In here. That's the beauty of music. You can't get that, man. Haven't you ever felt that way about music?
I play the main harmonica as a young man.
It's a lot more interesting than I thought.
Does it make less sense than here?
I guess it would make the most sense. I need it so you don't forget.
Forget.
forget that there are places in the world that aren't made out of stone, that there's something inside that they can't get to, that they can't touch. It's yours.
Talk about it.
I haven't got time, but I'd really like to ask you, why do you think he would say, my phone does not like those speakers, let me turn it off. I'd like to ask you that question, but perhaps we could do that next week, talk a bit about that. So, why do I want to talk about hope? Well, if you're going through tough stuff and you haven't got hope, then life is really difficult. Somebody else is fine.
Pardon?
It's off. So I shouldn't be here. Shouldn't be doing it there. Let's go straight here. This is the framework I use when I'm praying for you guys. I often have this in my mind. This comes from Ephesians chapter 1. You can have a look at it. Actually, it's not a private framework that only I can use. It's great for you to use to pray for other people as well. I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Sometimes I do complain about one or two people to the Lord, but most of the time I find myself giving thanks about so many great people that we've got who are around. And I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Talked about this recently, haven't I? So that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Go on to read about that, because it's really great. And so here am I, I'm praying, Lord, I want to pray for Mel that you'll actually do something so that she can see all that you've got for her. Lord, I pray you open her eyes. And then, you know, get squirted with water, or when the kids, we go down to the cafe, get a drink, and come back again. And it goes on, because my job is to continually pray for you guys, and pray about some other people as well, and think about the fact that, you know, I pray for Julia and Nick with this house. Lord, I pray that they're not going to lose their way, because I know all about losing my way over a house, getting a 90% grant from the GLC, and having to virtually replace a house from the ground up, like, you know, sort of damp-proof course, woodworm, right the way up to putting a new roof on. It can actually fill your vision. And the only hope in your life is that will be finished one day. I think you'll be able to do something else. Of course, it never is. When by the time before it's finished, you've moved somewhere else and started again. And then when you think you're finished there, your wife wants to change the bathroom around, so you've got to have builders in again on Monday. But so I'm praying at the moment about hope, because that's part of the problem. Katrina, it's not you losing your faith. It's just that you'd got a set of hopes that you'd got, and those haven't come out right. And so you've got to actually get the base right. And all of us are like that, because at the moment, some of us may be doing pretty well in our careers, but then they're going to take a dive when we realise we're not the latest hot thing. And that hope will disappear as well. That's what I want you to take away with you, because hope is a pretty big issue. What did I want to show next? Oh, yeah, I tell you what had come. Does anybody watch the Gadget Show around here? Nobody watches Gadget Show? There are a few of us who do. Wendy and I watch it avidly from week to week. Latest feature, I actually made the notes of the winning water pistols from this programme. Really stupid programme. My grandchildren watch it, you see, so there's, and I was talking to Ethan while we were away, and he said, He said, I've actually gone in for that competition. And I never have, actually, but I think might do. Do you ever go in for competitions like that? Do you actually check and see whether you've won afterwards? You know, do you ever think that you might win? See, if you haven't seen
that's
it.
Right. We sent a camera crew along to find out how someone reacts when they win 182 gadgets.
And this is how the winner of our biggest ever gadget competition to date reacted. We're in Wales to meet Greg Baker, the man lucky enough to win an amazing 182 gadgets. His incredible haul included our top 5 digital photo frames, a Pyramid gaming chair, and 3 flat screen TVs. And also won all of our top 5 flying toys.
I'm going to be really short to use it, one.
Top 5 speeches. Top 5 Christmas, an iPhone, and top barbecue.
Oh dear, this is the law, my friend. I've just been told we've got to keep it on. Yeah, sorry about that.
Not only that, but he won a BMW Zeppelin mini iPod dock.
The sound on that is amazing.
A Magi Mix food processor and a Man Rich mountain bike.
Still got the cardboard on.
And that was just the tip of the iceberg of Gatch.
Is that that's it there?
Yeah. After everything was inside, Greg revealed an amazing secret.
I might be able to tell you about this amazing secret later on. But of course some of you would say that's really trivial, isn't it? But there are other things that sort of catch people's imagination, they put their hope in. Acquiring gadgets is pretty grim, but there are a lot of people around for whom their desire to not live a lonely life is a big thing as well.
School need no longer dream of being swept away by Irish shakes, English lords, and delicious doctors. Amazing RL and Rocking Raga are about to take their place against a backdrop of Bollywood palaces and the burning sands of Jaisalmer. The soft-scented heart of mushy romantic fiction is about to hit India with 10 titles a month, printed indigenously, priced at 99 rupees a copy, and will soon be looking for Indian authors.
It's another set of things that people put their hope in, that something's going to come along and rescue them, going to change their lives. And that's perhaps more understandable than worrying about whether you've got the latest scooter, although I really would like one of those scooters. Whether I'd actually have the nerve to be seen in public riding a scooter, I don't know. It'd probably make me back hurt. Probably the thing in Britain that you get people talking about hope in most, and the thing that sort of perplexes me, is when you see people with scratch cards and the lottery and that sort of stuff. I can remember once I said in a service quite early on how much money I'd won on the lottery. And somebody came up to me afterwards and asked me how I'd won that much money. I said, well, every week I win a quid by not paying anything to the lottery. She was really disappointed because it was somebody who was in dreadful debt and really got problems with money, and that was where her hope was. But you look out the lottery, you remember that it could be you, those things with the finger. Look at this more recent advert. And see how many things this ties up. It's a very spiritual advert. I don't want to talk about that one now because I think what we'll do is we'll turn that into a sales study. The idea that for a start the rainbow's got pinched, you know, the sign of hope, the ultimate hope, and all those human aspirations that are in there, legitimate aspirations, it's all stuck with paying a quid, spending money you haven't got on the scratch cards. You know, desperate, desperate stuff. And if you can't understand it, if you can't understand how people live that sort of way, You need to, because otherwise you won't have a gospel. Won't have any good news for people. Can't get into this. Sorry. That caught me on the hop. Sometimes you don't actually watch these things in detail when you put them together. But look, here's the thing about hope. Hope is something you really wish, isn't it? Yeah? And I found out a lot about hope this week. You wouldn't believe how I did it. I did something really sort of serious and theological. I looked it up in a dictionary. Yeah? And if you look it up in the dictionary, hope has got two things. It's got desire. It's got another thing as well, because it's not just desire, because you can wish for all sorts of stuff. But the other thing is expectation. And what I'm asking you about is, look, what have you got a desire for and what you've got an expectation for? And that's the takeaway from today, and then we're coming to this next Sunday. What are you desiring? What are you expecting? What have you got? What is significant for you in your life? You know, sort of, is your desire connected with the hope to which he has called you? Is that really what's the big thing here?
I've never entered a competition before, so the first time and the once only text I sent in, I couldn't ask for better, really. I'm still gobsmacked, absolutely gobsmacked. And I'm also stuck, really. I got a phone call from Susie, and I didn't believe it was Susie.
Hello, it's Susie Perry from The Gadget Show. You are the winner of our biggest prize fund ever.
You're joking.
No, I'm not joking.
But now everything had arrived, Greg accepted it wasn't a wind-up.
I've got to say to Susie, I'm really sorry, Susie, I didn't realise it was you on the telephone, but
he can barely contain his enthusiasm and wanted to have a go on everything straight away. He went for a run, Disney Basics Gel, Kayamo Traders.
Thank you, you've done that for the rest of the day.
And just when he thought, he'd seen everything.
Oh my god. You have the box in this and the little things.
There's loads. Look, there's this and there's more. The things and look.
I think he's dead shot.
Thank
you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, come on. Hey! Thanks, Gadget Show. Thank you very much.
Come on, Greg. Isn't he lovely? On his bicycle there with the cardboard still on it. Like a little boy on Christmas Day.
Was he hoping? Don't think he was he? Because he wasn't expecting it. You're joking. Don't believe it. So hope is something more than going in for a competition and then forgetting about it. Hope is expectation. So where do we put our hope? Can't read them all out. But this morning, just as I was coming out, what I often do is I go and think of something else I want to talk about. And these are all the references in the Bible about hoping in the Lord. 32 of them. Be strong and take heart. Why? It's going to be all right? No. Because you hope in the lottery? No. Because you hope in the Lord. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope in his unfailing love. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. See, that's what it's about. And I can't miss out on this particular verse just to finish, because even though we have a hope and expectation, there's still a bit of a catch in it because of this. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. See, if we put our hope in the Lord, right, it's not going to turn out like we hope. It's going to turn out better. Most of us have got dreams, and I'm not sure whether it's in The Hobbit or it's actually in The Lord of the Rings, where somebody talks about the future and says, it's where all your dreams come untrue. And you know, that's great, isn't it? The thought that our dreams are going to come untrue. They're not going to turn out the way we thought. Because sometimes we're not putting our hope in the Lord. We're we've got really bad expectations. It's going to go wrong, that life's going to fall apart, that we're going to be left on our own, that we're going to have no money to survive on, that we're going to have health issues, that our marriages are going to break up, we're not going to be able to keep them together. There's all those things that go on. But my prayer is, and I hope your prayer for me too is, that the eyes of your understanding may be opened so that you would know the hope to which you've called. I'm going to ask if one or two of the prayer team are available in the small room, in the room that paddlers have been in afterwards, because maybe some people are saying, blow that for a lark, I don't want to wait till next week, I need prayer now about hope. Because if you're in that position, it'd be really good to get prayer before you go. And here's the question this week. What are you hoping for? And by hope, what are you desiring and what are you expecting? When I get round to it, I'll try and see if I can get some of those things up on Facebook and do some links to some of these videos. Well, not some of these, but the one with the hand on. We're going to show a longer video. And we've actually paid for it, so I think it's legitimate for me to try and paste the unpaid preview up somewhere where you can have a look at it beforehand, because we've got lots of Bible references on, and we'll start from there next week. Let's have a prayer for all of us. Father, spirit of wisdom and understanding we need as we look around the world. We need it to reach out to other people, but first of all we need it for us. Lord, we pray this week that increasingly the eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our inside eyes will be opened up, Lord, so that we know what is the hope of your calling. Lord, let it happen. We need it. We need it so much so that our minds are taken up with things that are eternal rather than things that are down here. Amen. That's it.